Welcome to Plauta Financial Wellness Hub. Today we have Joshua with us, who is our FCA regulated financial advisor. The whole point of this video is to advise you on financial questions which we get from our YouTube channel, social media, and from our clients. Hello, Joshua.
Hi, Vignesh. Good to see you again.
Right. So the questions which we're going to ask, like which people normally have on their day-to-day life, is how much someone has to save for their future.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question, because what somebody needs to save for the future is all dependent on what their future looks like, right? So the starting point for saving for the future is all about what's coming in and what's going out, right? And if what's coming in exceeds what's going out, then you've got some spare capital left to save and invest, right? But on the reverse side, if what's coming in is lower than the expenditure or very much line by line, then you're in a place where it becomes very difficult to save for the future, which causes a problem later down the line, because you haven't done enough in the early days. You haven't used the time that you had on your hands in the early days to prepare for that future. But to answer the question, I think that for somebody who earns, say, £30,000, what they need to do to save on the, you know, save for the future is very much start, right? Because once you start, you build the habits and the patterns for saving. Right, before you've started, it's very difficult to start with a plan of action. And I think the minute that you start building the habits of saving, you put yourself into a position where that will never turn off, right? Because that just becomes another expense which you are managing each month, right? So I think that's very important. Now, obviously, somebody who saves £30,000 has a wider range of options than somebody who is earning 70, 80, 100,000 pounds, because the chances are the simple way of putting that money, or the simple place to put that money, is in an ISA, right? Because everything in that ISA is then tax efficient, right? But for somebody earning 50,000, 60,000, 80,000, who have already maxed out their ISA allowances, the question and the answer are very different, because whatever they save is no longer going to be in such a tax efficient way as somebody on 30,000 pounds, because the ISA is no longer available to them. So then they need to explore what other structures and options are available to them to save in a tax-efficient way. But to rewind, the most important point is to start those habits early of saving.
Okay, thank you. And what do you think about this 50-30-20 rule? And also, for your question, I think it also depends on what stage and what age at their career, right? What, how much they are earning.
Absolutely.
It also differs for a couple, an individual, and a family, right?
So exactly. And I think kind of, just to refer to 50, 30, 20, you know, general rules of thumb that people will speak about when it comes to saving and investing and spending, they're a good starting point, but they don't do anything specific to you, right? And so when you come to forming a plan, it needs to be very much your plan, not a rule of thumb. And I think that's where working with somebody to build that plan is very important, because it's no longer about doing what everybody does. It's about doing the things that work for you, to plan for your future, to plan for your long-term expenses, to plan for your retirement, so that you can achieve financial freedom when the time comes for you to do that.
So the takeaway is, like, the goal or your financial freedom will change for everyone. It's different for
everyone. You know, nobody wants to do the same as everybody else. And I guess, you know, the truth is that people worry about what their neighbours are doing. You know, everybody tries to keep up with the Joneses, right? An old English saying. But I think that's no longer relevant when it comes to saving and investing and planning for your future, because your future doesn't look like the person over the garden fence, right? It's your future. So let's have a conversation about what you can do to plan for that future.
Okay, got it, right. So, like, then, and also one thing I noticed is, like, we run a lot of surveys and things for people to find out, are they planning to their financial, are they reaching to their goals? One thing we found out is, like, people still, they miss out their emergency fund, or they don't even have an insurance policy or anything. How does it affect? Because I think if people are planning something for financial, you know, freedom and saving that money, I believe they need to also think about their insurance policies, workplace pensions, and saving into how much they save to that plan. What's your take on that? Like,
yeah, absolutely. And you know, they're strong, solid foundations that somebody can start with to begin that journey, right? And so if you take, you know, what's really, really important in what you said, the emergency fund, right? That is integral to building beyond that, right? So until you've got that emergency fund, which you know is there in case of emergency, it's hard to save and invest, because you're saving and investing without the comfort and the foundation to be able to do that, right? So that emergency fund is rule one, right? Build yourself an emergency fund so that if anything happens to you, you lose your job, your car needs fixing, you need a new washing machine, whatever it is, you have a place to dip into, right? And that's the starting point. So once that emergency fund is established, and, you know, let's be real, you know, the emergency fund should be held in something incredibly liquid. So short-term cash, right? Instantly accessible savings accounts, whatever it is, have it ready to go the minute you need it.
Yeah. Right. So, what is the amount? Like, how do I know? Like, what is the emergency? I know, like, it's like worth like 6 months of your day-to-day expense. Is that correct?
Yeah. Well, again, it comes down to you as an individual, and you know, your appetite for risk, your appetite for providing for your family. You know, your individual circumstances. Because 3 months may be enough if you're a single person living alone with, you know, big plans for the future and a stable job, right? That may be enough, because you've got 3 months emergency fund. You know, if something happened, if the worst thing happened to you and you lost your job, you can survive for 3 months. Okay. That could be enough. Equally, if you've got a family, you've got children, you've got mouths to feed, it could be 6 months. But again, it all comes down to understanding your risk profile so that you know what you need to put away in that emergency fund.
Right. So the key takeaway we need to know is, like, before even saving every month, make sure, one, you have your emergency fund sorted out, right, so that you can be relaxed. And two, once it's sorted out, then you plan your savings, where you can use ISA schemes, if you, depending upon the salary and age.
Exactly. So I think, you know, the for saving, we will focus on the emergency fund, right? So we save enough to build the emergency fund, right? Let's just take the person with no backup, right? And they're starting day one, they want to build a plan. What do they want to do first? Well, we need to save so that you've got an emergency fund ready to go.
Yeah.
Now, once you've saved enough that the emergency fund is full, that's the key to opening the door to investing. And that is the difference between saving and investing. Saving is to make sure that you can provide for your family and live your life in the worst case events. And investing is to plan for the future using the time horizons that you have until your retirement, until your daughter gets married, until these big life events come along, that you can dip into those pots to pay for those things.
And also they need to cover their insurances.
Exactly. You know, insurance is a key point, because there's so many different types of insurance available, and there's so many different misconceptions when it comes to insurance that it's worth its own conversation. So I think that with regards to insurance, you know, if you have a mortgage and you don't have life insurance, have a real think about that. If you have a job and you don't have income protection insurance, well, that's a risk you're taking, right? So understand the different types of insurance and understand what the downside of not having them is.
Yeah. So again, like, if you want to close this video, I think the key takeaway is, before even you think of saving, make sure you have, you cover your emergency fund. You need to opt in for insurances, and then you think about investing thing. But the main thing is, even though you have a plan, our advice is always to go with a financial advisor, to sit with them and plan what you exactly want for your future, then reverse back and plan it.
Exactly, because, you know, not everybody is going to need the insurances, right? But a lot of people will. So again, it comes down to knowing what your plan looks like, building that pathway to the future, so that you know what you're doing is putting you in the best position to move forward with your savings, with your investments, with your insurances.
Hi, I'm Vignesh, founder of Plowdown. If managing money feels confusing or just not made for you, you're not alone and you are in the right place. Plowdown is here to help you understand your money and build real financial freedom one step at a time. In this channel, we share easy to follow videos on things like budgeting, saving, investing, pension, and even how to plan your inheritance tax. Our goal is simple: to help you feel more confident and in control of your money. If that sounds useful, hit the subscribe and join our growing community of people on the journey to financial freedom. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.